So welcome back to part two of Tuesday, October 25th, live with friends and Linda. So I want to share something with you that is a new discovery this week that I think is going to be really interesting to Marnie. See if everyone's back yet. So, Marnie, I found, and all of you, I have a new discovery about our dog, Griffin. Turns out, he's not a Chinese crested. Last week, we had a contractor who was born in Mexico come to look at our pool tile. And he took one look at Griffin. I said, you just fell in love with him. He went crazy. And I said, oh, do you know the breed? He said, yes, it's Mexican hairless. I said, really? That's not what we were told. I thought they were only big. And apparently they come in, he showed me pictures, they come in actually three or sometimes four sizes. But he's what is called, it's spelled XOLOITZCUINTLI. So apparently Americans who don't speak Spanish call him a Xolo for short, but it's something like Xolo Shazuwindi. And I have to learn to say it because he showed me a picture of a dog that is exactly like Griffin. And I've been told by a couple of breeders wondered if maybe he's a crossbred because his legs are too long for the breed. And that's exactly the way these dogs are, the Mexican hairless type. And his type, they date back to 3,500 years. And they were considered sacred. So it really fits him because he's definitely a different type of being. So, water. So before we go on, because what I'm going to do is play you a part of this video. Each time I want to show you on video a couple of different tea touches. But I want to know if any of you have any issues or any questions that you have that you'd like to talk about this week. And Dorothy, I'd love to hear from you, just to have you tell your story a little bit. And did you come here because of dogs, horses, cats, humans? What animal brought you here, or animals?
My dog. Yeah, I have a reactive border collie, and we got her when she was five, and she was like a puppy. She had been kept in a garage in a crate during the day, so even though she's 10, we've come a long way, but we still got a long way to go. And I've tried all kinds of trainers and never been, you know, from the dog whisperer on, and not been happy with what's been going on. So I found your book a few years ago and looked at it. And then, you know, one of those things that I didn't get into, but it was in the back of my mind. And then, so the dog, but also I have a challenging family situation right now with several members that I'm living with who have cancer. And so I need support. And so it just seems, and I've just been, since last week, I've just been exploring some of what you've been doing. And I'm just so happy to be here and part of this, because it's just so impressive. And when you were just talking about the mitochondria, I just looked it up because I don't know anything about it. And my husband is really kind of sliding away, and I'm looking at the what it controls. I'm thinking that that could be really a good avenue to go and look into, because we've been just going the he prefers the standard medical approach, which hasn't done anything for him, but he's also an energy sensitive. So I've used quantum touch on him before lots of times, and he'll have a pain, and I just send him some energy for a minute, and he says, okay, that's good, and off he goes. So he's that way. So he's, you know, I'd like to give him some hope. I just see this whole group, and what you're doing and what you've been doing and what you're going to be doing is so hopeful, because I think that's the big thing that we don't have in this world right now. Is there's so many things that can give us a feeling of hopelessness. So yeah, so that's what's brought me here. I think the hope is the big one. Yeah.
Yes, I think hope is huge. And the fact that you already have discovered that you can disappear his pain, mm-hmm. It is phenomenal, it seems, except it's not. Yeah. You know, we have seen it over and over and over. And I'd like to speak about your husband first and then about your dog and find out what you've been doing with your dog and make some suggestions. But with your husband, one of the most important, we have these what we call nine elements of telling to T-Touch that makes it possible to learn, whether it doesn't matter what species it's for or for ourselves. And the eighth element is the intention that we have. And so when we look at an animal or a person, to me, it doesn't matter what's going on with them. I've had the great privilege of working with people in fourth stage cancer, or one woman that came to our class in Austria, and she'd had major surgery and was in constant pain after the surgery, and she could take no pain meds. So she had no hope. Actually, her only support was her small dog, which was huge. And so what we do when we look at any situation, the message that we send is, whether it's a spoken message or an unspoken message, is to see the body, this know your perfection, just acknowledge your perfection at the cellular level. And if you're dealing with somebody and there's not so much hope, generally, we can't say that because you can't relate to that. But we can say, remember your potential for ideal function at the cellular level. And that's what all of this work is based on. Although you can be successful with the animal T-Touch method or humans, and you don't have to know that to be effective. But the more you realize that this body is an absolute miracle, that we're all miracles. And what the heck do I mean by that? I just want you to think about all of us to celebrate the knowing that every single cell in this body knows its function in the body. And you can read this from Nobel Prize winners. That's how I got introduced to the idea in 1976, by Sir Charles Sherrington, who won a Nobel Prize. And that was his statement that set me on this path. And the fact is, when we look at the body with that potential of not seeing the dis-ease or the pain, it doesn't mean that we don't acknowledge it, but beyond that, we can look at each being and realize that, oh my gosh, I mean, in each one of us, this body is a miracle, because it is absolutely true, that every cell knows its function in the body. Like, okay, what the heck does that mean? Well, think about it. We're miracles. How come that I can see you? How is it that I can speak? How does my blood flow? What about my lymph? I mean, we don't have anything to do with that. And it's all handled by the, all I could possibly see is divine intelligence. What else? This universal, amazing divine intelligence that most people that we know call God, and some scientists call intelligence or consciousness. And when we begin to see it and say, yes, there's this huge, you know, issue that's going on in the body. But when I start, when you, for instance, start, Dorothy, to look at your husband and you recognize in him, holy mackerel, you know, his body is a miracle. How can I support that miracle? And we can do it. One of the ways we do it is with the gentle circular touches and actually having the person give you feedback. Would you like a little bit more contact or a little less? Little pressure is what we're talking about. Or would you like me to go a little faster or a little slower? And I don't say it like that. I would just say, you know, would you like me to go faster than what I'm doing now? I could do that. Or, and try it if the person wants, or a little slower. And if they try both, if they're willing to try both, yeah, it's really useful, because sometimes you say, oh, it's perfect the way it is. So it starts with that acknowledgement and remembering that every cell in the body knows its function in the body. And as I mentioned before, the book by Bruce Lipton and his co-author, this concept that, which I hadn't read anywhere else in the same way, in his chapter on the evolution of our cells, when he comes to the place that talking about communication between the cells, this is what we're doing with this 1 1/4 circles, is supporting awakening where there's pain or dysfunction or perhaps numbness, awakening that communication between the cells, supporting it. And of course, we can do all these other things for our bodies, what we ingest, what we think, what the supplements that we take, all of that, of course, is necessary for our support. So just beginning now by the fact that you can just stop his pain. Mm-hmm. And we've had this before in cancer, that for a couple of years, you know, the person who, husband who did not want treatment, and his wife, just from learning actually the T-touch for her horses, could stop his pain for a couple of years. And that gives the hope that's so invaluable.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Seeing the person as a collection of like 50 to 100 trillion cells, depending who you read, that all know their ideal function. And when we can bring a person to a place of being in the parasympathetic of rest and recovery and heart coherence, and we can do that just by the heart hugs, for instance, then we can very much help to influence whatever is going on in the body. So I want to actually just ask, before I go on talking about your dog, if there's anybody here, and I would really invite you, if you would like to say something else to Dorothy from your experience, or or questions about what I said, because not all of you, I mean, we have not been focusing in this past months like I normally do on the techniques of the telling to touch. We're just kind of like touching around like I did here, talking about the eighth element, and we've gone through like several of the elements. But I would really appreciate those of you who know the work and would like to add something to Dorothy, or aren't so sure and have a question, because your questions are priceless. Let's see if we can get at least one person to share. Teresa, thank you.
First of all, I would like to say thank you, Linda, for how you welcome every newcomer in this round. And for me, it is especially just like a wonder how to see all this group, how we are together, and we are living the tea touch, everyone in his or its way to do. And this is about tea touch. And the quality of doing it is the other part, which is also very important. But I feel the tea touch, when you talk to Dorothy, we are all in there. And I just want to say for Dorothy, all the best. Everyone has his own garden to look after. And I can tell you, I do also go with some problems, quite big problems. And sometimes I do get like I wouldn't have enough air to breathe, as I am teaching hard math and hard coherence. And myself, I do have these problems too. So just a very small story from the last time we were talking about the ear touch. Remember, Linda? And like we do working in this part. So I said, instead of laying the whole night hoping that you can sleep, and I don't want to take sleeping pills, so I say, so let's do the tea touch, I said to myself. And I didn't have the problem anymore of like not having enough air to breathe, and I could sleep. And I did it really doing very, very, I would say 20 minutes. I say, anyway, I'm not sleeping, so let's do the tea touch. And it does work. Thank you, Linda.
And isn't that funny? I mean, how simple. Come on, Teresa, you've been doing this now for 30 years with dogs, horses, and people. And how we forget to do it for ourselves. And we need each other to just inspire and remind us of this. That's what is so cool. I can't believe it. And would you mind sharing a little bit about the years it took you to finally get Umberto on board with T-Touch?
I will. And if this is one of, I believe, my biggest gift I got, because he, as he is a chemist, and he is very analytical, and he always said, well, yeah, that's it. Let's do it for your horses and dogs, but please let me out of the human part. And I can tell you, this morning he said he has quite problems. He had also the herpes zoster, you know, this herpes, which is the inflammation of the nerves. And you can get even a vaccination today. It is really, it hurts. I don't know the word, actually. We'll find it afterwards in English. Anyway, he has pain, and he had a real pain on his arm. And he said, "Would you please do some touches on my arm?" I said, "Yes." Before I left this morning for my work. And then he said, "You know, it's less." And this for me is like Christmas. I don't ask him how, and he is not a man of many words. So I just do it. And I ask only, "Is it okay for you?" "It is okay." That's it. That's fantastic. So never ever lose hope if somebody is not entering in T-touch at the time you would like to. I really know it works. So and we have to prove. Actually, I have to admit that Dennis did a big job also for him by telling what is going on, and he got interested in what Dennis does with the part of, let's say, to prove as a chemist, he wants to have the proof. He got it. But the best proof is that the pain really can relieve. That's so important. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
So, do you have your dog there with you?
My dog?
Sorry, yeah. Dorothy's dog. I'm looking at Dorothy, thinking you understand who I'm looking at. Dorothy, is your dog there?
Yes.
May we see her, him?
But okay. Come in. Let's see. This is Meg.
Maggie, hi. Beautiful.
Yeah, she's the love of my life.
And so, what is the behavior that doesn't work so well?
She is a barker when it's very difficult right now because she barks. She doesn't bark when I come home, but she barks when our daughter lives downstairs, and my husband when he comes home or she comes home, or she hears a noise, she's a reactive barker, and it's getting worse. So it's setting my husband off, which he doesn't need, and wakes him up and so forth. So we've been working on that, but I haven't come up with anything yet other than calming her. And I've started using T-Touch on her too, which seems to be, if I put some more time into it, would probably make a big difference. Oh, I know, of course it would, but yeah. And the other thing is when we're out, she's been reacting to dogs, but I've been using a lot of positive talking with her and distraction with treats and connecting things like when bicycles go by, it means she gets chicken. So now she doesn't react to bicycles because she just waits for her chicken, you know, so things like that. So
that's super, because what the chicken is doing, what the move, like the food can, when they accept it, can activate the parasympathetic instead of the sympathetic, where she's in a state of fear and reactivity. And so I would like to know, what have you been doing for the barking? What are all the things that you've tried?
Yeah, all the wrong things.
But you know what? It's what you knew.
Pardon?
It's what you knew at the time.
Yeah. We have default too. If you're stressed, you just go, you just can get set off. So her reactiveness can spark our reactiveness. So there are times when I'm not very happy with the way I react, and other times when I can handle it. Yeah, so when she barks.
What do you actually do? What have you been doing?
What do I do? Okay. If I'm with it, I will call her to me and she comes. And I've been petting her and working on her ears for quite a while now before I started this, stroking her ears and talking and saying, you know, and she will settle down. What I want to do is when, let's say, someone's at the door, then I can't get to that stage with her. She's just gone. And so it takes a while for her to calm down. And if somebody comes in the house, she's set off. And so I'm afraid she has nipped people before. So I get worried that, you know, that she's going to.
When you say set off, when somebody comes in, what does she do?
She barks and gets really, really worked up. So it gets really more and more aggressive barking. Like, I've got to get rid of this or whatever, you know.
And what do you do?
Yesterday it happened. I put her in a room, closed the door, and let her bark. But that's one thing I've done. Or go in with her and start to calm her down. But it's
so let's just think about it. When somebody comes to the door, and so why do you think she's barking?
I don't know. I guess it's not just when I'm home either, because I thought maybe she was just protecting me. Part of it's a breed. She's a border collie, and I think there's some breed specific stuff going on there. But I think she's being protective, and she works herself up from that. Even if there's somebody, she can calm herself down if she can come out outside with the person. She can calm herself down if she knows the person.
Right.
But she doesn't think of men with hats and so forth, you know.
Yeah. So. But that's what I would call that aggression. Sounds like this barking. In that case, when she's reacting to hats and stuff, that comes from a place of fear. And one of the things that absolutely changed my way of working with animals, which I've done since I was very little, is actually, it's from this book. This is The Course in Miracles.
Mm.
And in 1982, I was the year-long course. And when I read a statement in this book that aggression comes from a place of fear and is a cry for help, I immediately thought of, oh my gosh, if that's true, think of the horse that I whacked when he bucked his rider off. And what about the dog that was set off across the room and I got after?
Mm-hmm.
And it completely changed my way of looking. Now, it doesn't mean that understanding behavior means we accept it, which is a brilliant statement from my sister Robin Hood. It doesn't mean that we accept it, but how we have a choice of how we see that. First of all, what I want to talk to you about and to know, because most people, it sounds to me like you're feeling guilty or sad about what you did before. Mm. And one of the important parts of this Tellington method is forgiveness.
Mm.
You just did the best you could. You didn't have other tools. And the beautiful thing is, dogs forgive us. They really do. We know this from all the work that we've done with animal communication, with our own journeys into the forest, where we ask our animals to tell us how they're feeling. It's incredible, Dorothy, how they forgive us.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things I would say, just do some heart hugs on yourself when you start to feel guilty, because anybody that I know who've been around animals for a lifetime have lost their tempers at times, have done things that they wouldn't do today. But, you know, you have other choices now. So what we do, first thing is, dogs have to have a job, especially working dogs like a border collie. And so you could... You know, we make up the games. We keep them locked up with us. So how I would see when she barks, I would thank her.
Mm-hmm.
And say, thank you very much. Now I've got it. Now the fact is, if you go to her, she's still like pretty wild, right? If you went to the door.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so is she sometimes like, does she evade you when you try to put your hands on her, or, you know, when you were like, will she always?
She would not take a treat. She would just, she's in that state. Yeah.
When she can't take a treat, that is a clear invitation that she's under the control of the sympathetic nervous system. Mm-hmm. We, as I'm talking, for those who may not have dogs, like, but have cats, I'm thinking Ava, have your kitties on the street. You can relate this same thing to us, to we humans. And so anyway, what I do when the dog, well, you can't necessarily catch them with, I'm sure some of you have seen this. So I just put leave a string on them attached to, in this case, a collar, if you have this situation. And so that you can step on the string and pick her up and bring her to you. And this is where we were talking before, Becky was talking about supporting. We contain the dog, and I do it by the shoulders. And just talk to her, hold her, but not squeezing, just so she cannot get away back. She can't go back, can't go forward, can't go sideways. And just start like these with the whole hand on the shoulder, just doing these touches, not fast, just 1 1/4 circle and a little hold. Breathe. It's hard because, you know, it's upsetting your husband. You know, nobody likes it when dogs bark. Okay. And so just talk to her, whatever words come easily to you. I'm going to start speaking German. It's hard to say it in English. Quiet. I need you now, please, to be very still and quiet. And I actually, that's where I restrain them, except not tight, not with restraint. I contain them in that space. And they can't take treats for that. When they can't take treats, you know that is an extreme depth of fear. Mm-hmm. So in this case, it doesn't sound like she's doing a job. She's reacting to something that she can't see.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, how can we bring her to a situation where she's turned away from the door, away from it, and thank her actually for it? For barking, and then say, and that's it. You only thank in the beginning, and then I need you to come to me and be still. And this is where it takes practice. It takes thinking, oh, I'm how going to do this. And what you could do, where do you live?
In a small, in town, yeah. In Comox. Oh, Comox, BC.
British Columbia. Yeah. What's your temperature?
Right now, it's running around 10 degrees.
So it's cool. The reason I ask you, you could put a body wrap on her, but it's easier to get a thunder shirt when you're not in heat, and put the thunder shirt on her because it gives her containment. And that's what we're doing. We can also use our body wraps, but, you know, without, you could also get one of our practitioners. You must have a practitioner close to you to show you one session, like how to really do some of the tea touches and put the the basic body wrap on her. But a thunder shirt, I think a thunder shirt would be easier. And start when she's not reacting. That's when you start sitting her down and doing the ear tea touch. And if you would like to, you know, have your daughter take a little video and show us the next time how you're doing it, we can just guide you perhaps in other ways of doing it. So you do containment, and it's really smart to put her in another room because, boy, when you have visitors, I wouldn't have her off leash in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're concerned and she has, you know, bitten or nipped at somebody, which is normal for a breed, you can't feel good about it. And she will pick that up and wonder, like, what's wrong? You know, why are you tense when you can't help it? So I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think how you can just continue with what you're doing with the ear T-touch and the T-touch over her whole body when you don't have an issue. And even if you do it like 5 minutes a day,
mm-hmm.
and you will find a difference. And just continue, you know, hold her by the collar and do pick her foot up and do a little couple of circles in each direction. And you'll find that that helps. When you're outside, now you've got the chicken thing for the bicycles, and that's really brilliant. And there are behaviorists who will tell you that is the worst thing you could do because you're rewarding her for barking, but it's not my experience at all. And so with, is she pretty reactive if she sees a person who's like not, you know, looks different, has a hat on, sometimes different.
Mailman, you know, the usual. And yeah. So we're working on trucks and we're working on, she's actually doing better with dogs now than she is with people. Because like the neighbor that does, she doesn't know the neighbor, and they come and they bend over to touch her. And I'm telling them, don't do that. But you know how people are. And then she gets really snarly. So,
well, that means really afraid.
Yeah.
And that is a dangerous situation because she's trapped.
Yeah.
What she can't easily get away. So, mm-hmm. you know, so I would say, first of all, I know this is hard, but what I would do with your neighbor, I would actually I would walk away with the dog and not. Just simply walk away because you're still pushing her. If you say, you know, don't lean over my dog. I just can't believe it that people do that. But what I would do consider with her in public is putting a calming cap on her.
Putting what?
A calming cap. And it's a thing like this that you just put over them. You have to prepare them for it so they're not, so you can touch their face, first of all. And we put a wrap on them. We really have to find somebody close to you, which I'm sure we can do, a practitioner who could come and show you that. And I would like to talk to that person and suggest they do a light wrap on the face first. And any work that you can do around the face, just to start, just contain it like this, because the mouth is the closest connection to our emotional centers of our brain that we can get. And so you just contain that muzzle. And that makes a huge thing about working on the reactivity. So Becky, you had your hand up first.
Yeah, Dorothy, I just want to really underscore what Linda's saying with two pieces. The first one is that business of T-touching her regularly as just part of her day. One of my test cases that I had to do when I was training was a dog who bit people, which you're not supposed to choose. I didn't know she was a biter until after I'd done the session, of course. But when I called the woman to say, so how did she do? And she said, well, she hasn't bit anyone this week because nobody's been ever. So I don't know. But she said, every Tuesday when the trash men go by, I worry she's going to break the window because she lunges at the window barking so hard. And she said, and this week, she watched that truck go by was totally unconcerned. So don't underestimate the power of T-Touch to have an impact on lowering that overall that will then impact them in a moment where before they would have been out of control. That's the first piece I wanted to sort of anchor. And then the second, I'm so glad you said, Linda, the piece about thanking them for barking. I have a dog that's got Great Pyrenees in her. So of course she's going to alert me, right? And I would say she's out of control. But one of my people who works with me babysat her for the weekend. And when I came back, she said, oh, I have a cue to take her away from the window. And I watched her do it. She would walk to the window and say, thank you. Good work. Let's go work. And would take her elsewhere. Now, when I do it, often it doesn't work. And what I really had to look at was what's the difference between her and me. When she goes, she's being very intentional. She looks where my dog is looking, really cues up to what the dog has seen, then looks directly at her with great intention, says, thank you, Dory. Good work. Like she means it. And then says, let's go do some other kind of work. I think for me, a lot of times I'm like just trying to get her away, you know, I'm not in it at the level that Linda's talking about. And and watching that work, I would have never said saying thank you would work. I'm here to tell you it does.
Well, thank you. And before I ask Teresa and Marnie what they have to say, I want to give you all a principle here that I don't think we often think about. When a dog is barking at something, do you think they're in their body? Do you think they feel the ground? You think they feel themselves at all? No. So what T-Touch can do with these connected circles, over like long circles down different lines on the body, just with the idea of feel yourself. And get them into the sense of their body, because most people walk around, they don't feel themselves. Animals walk around, they don't feel themselves. And when you can bring them into the body, and I want you all who are into this thing of the, you know, that amazing golden ratio, that in this amazing concept, this spiral circle, that in doing so, we are addressing, and think about it as you do the circles. Holy mackerel, I am activating, connecting with, acknowledging that every cell in this body knows its function. How can I connect with that intelligence? How can I activate that intelligence? And that's one of the gifts that Denise, you're giving us with looking at the science behind all of this, which is really interesting. It's really different when we have that intention. And Victoria, when you talk with T-Touches to your eye, around your eyes, think about that intelligence that gives us the ability to see. No, and forgive the part that, we all have these things going on with us. Like, wait a minute, how can I just gently connect with the intelligence? And Dorothy, when you do the 1 1/4 circles, it's like there's a homeopathic knowing to this 1 1/4 circle. You don't have to even know about it. And it's like an imprint, as I've been told by one of my brilliant acupuncturist friends. And that's what you're doing with this lovely dog, is just feel yourself, connect with that incredible intelligence in every cell in the body. It's totally different for her. Teresa, and then Marnie.
Well, I just wanted to say a very simple thing. Because of the neighbors, Because the problem is that, or whatever, who wants to touch the dog, instead of saying, don't touch him, they say, oh, you can help me. I'm just doing a lesson with my dog, is to have the distance. And then they feel interesting and they feel like they can help you. And then is that, and you are relaxed. And your dog is relaxed when you are relaxed, you know? It's just, or sometimes even to put something on the collar, a scarf or whatever, and say, I'm doing the lesson. I know that from this rescue dog. We had also something special to show that they are working. And the dog is also recognizing it's a special situation. Now I will go with Dorothy to do my lesson. That's just a small a thing.
But actually, Teresa, it's not small, it's huge. And that is so important. And here I am saying, well, just, you know, move the dog away, instead of acknowledging the situation and engaging your neighbor. And maybe you could even call her and talk to her, or talk to her without your dog, and explain what's going on. So thank you. And it's not a little thing, Teresa. That's a huge thing.
Very helpful.
So,
wow, so much. That was amazing. Yeah, I've got so much to work with now. I feel very hopeful. And I will report back next week how things are going. But I appreciate people taking the time to listen to me and let Linda deal with my situation. Yeah.
Well, and we're all here to energetically support you. So you have the support of everybody here as you work this week.
Yeah.
Marnie, but I don't want to stop this without Marnie, because Marnie has had amazing amount of experience with just countless dogs over many, many years with Detouch. So Marnie.
Well, I was going to start with the effect you have on your dog. And so starting with breathing exercises and heart hugs to calm yourself. Dog is, that breed is so on top of what you're, where you are and what you're thinking. So putting yourself in the parasympathetic mode before you try to do your dog, it would really be helpful. And I was obviously lots of T-touch, hair slides because of the hair on that dog would be wonderful. And the other things that people mentioned. But Linda, why don't you tell one of those stories about the dog that was barking all the time that you worked on? Mouth work is kind of where I'm going with this, is a huge part of this, but you'll need help getting there. But you have amazing stories about working on dogs once or twice that bark, doing mouth work. It just...
I think the one you may be thinking of recently, I told the story in South Africa of the Jack Russell, 9-year-old female that was coming to the class from Botswana. Maybe you're thinking that's one that comes to my mind. And man, she would bark at any black person, man, who came within like 20 feet of her. And they liked that. I mean, her person liked that, which in her case, it was a little surprising. So she didn't want to change her dog. And I said, look, think of the stress of that dog that she has to keep track of any black person, man, within 20 feet of her. That's a lot of stress. You want this dog to live a long time, right? Reduce the stress. And one of the things that was interesting is that this came up because we were doing in the class, and this was like, we must have had 30 dogs in that class. We were all doing mouth tea touch on the dogs, and she couldn't touch her dog's mouth. And not that bite or do anything, she would just like, it was evasive. And what I find is that most people, if the dog says, no, don't touch me, they say, oh, well, I don't want to touch my dog's face, they don't like it. Well, depends how you do it. I mean, work up to it from the neck and putting yourself in heart coherence and knowing you can find a way that is respectful and works. And anyway, okay, she couldn't do it. So she asked me to do it. And I have some very nice pictures of working this little dog's mouth. I mean, she was really easy. And I did this and I said, now talk to her about the range that a person can be within. And just tell her what you need from her. And find out for yourself, what do you really think? What is it that you actually need her to do? And she did. And it made like a huge, huge difference. I don't know if that's the story you were thinking of, but I think of that story often. And that was one T-touch session. I did it first for certainly not 5 minutes. And then she could finally do it and just get her to rest her head, muzzle in her hands, do T-touch. So, but what we're doing here is addressing the intelligence of the dog. That treat our dogs as though they can understand because they can. And it's not just the words, it's the state that we're in. Are we in the like tense under the control of the sympathetic fight, flight, freeze, faint, fool around nervous system? Or can we sit back and have the hope and hold that we have many possibilities of addressing this in a way that is respectful and that the dog can handle, and you too. So thank you, Marnie. That was really, all of you are so impressive. And Jewel, I want you, because you've had many, many, many years of being a practitioner, Dorothy, and I want any, all of you to share who have experience and to share with you in this way. So,
yes, everybody has, not everybody, but everybody that's spoken basically has touched on something. I'm going to take it just a hair farther. It's really great to be aware of your emotional state because your dog's going to feed off of it. What I have found that is really helpful is keeping a picture in my head of how I want the dog to be. yes, she can do all that stuff, but just, you know, keep yourself calm and picture her just standing there calmly and not barking. And it's, you know, that's not going to work the first time, perhaps, that because it takes going to take you some practice too. But that maintaining that intention of how you want her to be can be so helpful.
Thank you.
And that's one of our essential bits of philosophy that are keys to success. You know, if you want to change your animal's behavior, you have to change your mind and hold the concept of what you want rather than focusing on what you don't want. And it's a primary concept in the Tellington method. Thank you. Denise, you're next.
Yeah, I want to say a little bit more than Jewel, because I think it's important to make the Ho'oponopono to calm down yourself, and then you can get the pictures of the kind who your dog should be. And this calm down is very important. Yeah.
And the concept of Ho'oponopono, that's forgiving yourself for all the things that you did that you would really,
and you should do it like a mantra, and take it. You have to start with an heart attack on yourself, two rounds, and then you make during the work on the dog the Ho'oponopono every time, because your brain has to work with a words, and you can work on the dog with your hands.
And this is the book that I recommend for the basic concept.
Three of us have our copies right at hand.
I love this little book. There are, it's called, if you want to write it down, it's H-O apostrophe. Do you have something to write with, Dorothy?
Yes, I do. Yeah, writing a lot.
It's H-O apostrophe O and then Pono Pono, P-O-N-O, P-O-N-O. And this book is the Hawaiian Forgiveness Ritual as a Key to Your Life's Fulfillment. And it's by Ulrich Dupre, D-U-P-R-E-E, Ulrich. It's on Amazon, of course. And I wish it was in German. Well, actually, it must. No, why am I? No, it's not what I wish.
It is in German. I have it in German because my English is so bad. I need it in German.
Of course, it's originally in German because he's German. And but the point is that what I wanted to say, he has a weekly broadcast. And I was going to recommend it to you all, but it's in German. So that's sad. But the book is life-changing, actually. And the basic concept, Dorothy, just to remind us all, it's saying to yourself, it's four basic phrases. And you can say them in whatever order you wish. I'm sorry for whatever it is that you did you wished you had not done. Please forgive me. Thank you that I'm forgiven. It's thank you. And I love you. And the I love you is the part that everybody I know had big trouble with in the beginning. Most people can't say I love you to yourself. And because it's not been okay in our culture. And if you're addressing this to someone you think, you know, has done something you didn't like, it's startling. No, to say that I love you. But if you see it from the point of I love the divine being you are in every cell in your body, or when you're saying it to yourself and you can't, it's the same. We are divine beings. What do I mean by that? Well, okay, universal being, whatever you want to call it, because how is it possible that every cell in the body knows its function in the body? And one of the books that I think is so important, and I think, Teresa, I'm wondering if you have shared this with Umberto. I mean, just the parts of it. I'm reorganizing all my books. I just got them unpacked. Oh, here it is. Right where it should be. This is the Code of Authentic Living, Cellular Wisdom. And it's by Joan C. King. Sometimes you're lucky enough to find a copy on Amazon. But the basic premise of this book, and it just follows up for me and what Sir Charles Sherrington, Nobel Prize winner, said, and Bruce Lipton. But she says in the first sentence, in the first chapter, every cell is a genius. And then she follows up with really interesting cases, I mean, specific scientific stuff behind it, like each of the body's 100 trillion cells is a dynamic living entity, continuously engaged in the energetic dance of life. The life of a cell is orchestrated from a central command center called the nucleus, located at the heart of the cell. And then she goes on to describe it in ways that I couldn't put down. And the mitochondria that we were talking about, that is so supported by the glutathione, is of course, you know, at the very heart of all of this. And we need to do everything we can to take care of it. So did I see one more hand up before we end this? Where was I there?
It's Teresa.
It was just a little story again from one of my courses with a dog, and it was a border collie barking against the neighbor. And she was on the first day, we were working with her and it worked quite well. And I said to the lady, she got angry. She can't really stay nicely with the neighbor either. And I said, just like that, why don't you send her a kilo of empathy? So the next day she came and she said, you don't believe it, but she didn't bark anymore. So it is really, as we said, as when we are with the dog, we help, we say, I help you, I'm with you, and it will work. And this really was, she came with a cake. It was before Christmas. She said, you don't know what it means. She went then to the neighbor and she told her, and they became even better neighbors. So it is, and it has to be also with a little sense of humor. Then we are relaxed. And when we smile, we have serotonin going. It's all together. Sorry, I have a talking remark.
Wait, Teresa. No, thank you. It's a really precious, important information that each one of us has to share. And it's a great gift when we share. Thank you all. Let's end with the heart hug and the concept of joining me when just before you go to sleep each night and thinking of three wonderful things that happened to you during the day for which you are very grateful, and send that gratitude out around the world, and end by sending it inside, no matter, maybe there are parts like me that don't necessarily work as well as they used to, but my emotions and my mental health are great and I can move. Blessings to you all. Megan, I didn't say hi to you. Is there any? Oh, and Anna, I didn't say hi to you, so I want to make sure. And Jewel, I didn't say hi to you before. Love you all.
And Linda, I need 5 minutes from you.
Good. Perfect. Yep. Okay.
Yep. Hi, Linda. Sorry, I missed you.
Sandra, hi. What do you mean? You were on for a while. What happened?
Students. I have students.
Oh, students. I wondered. I saw you there for a bit. So it's great to see you, Sandra, again. Thanks.
Ciao, thank everybody. You. I'm always here, but not bye. Always visible.
Got it. Bye. Bye. Oh, I'll end the recording. Stop.